I think you got free this morning. Welcome out all the visitors. You know, you might have watched some of the people up here dancing, radically dancing. You just don't know where from whence they came. You don't know the bondage that they were in. One of them was a prisoner of war person who got beaten, raped. They know what it was to be in bondage, and now they know what it is to be free. So, you know, whenever you're in bondage, then you're free. You know how to worship the Lord. You know where your joy is and where your strength is. And I just think it's exciting that people do come into the house of the Lord. They do get set free. And they do learn how to worship the Father. We just don't sit here like a bunch of dead people. You know, when God told me to have the revival, everything that's up there is what God and how God worded it. And then my staff looked at me like, really now? I said, well, that's what God said, so that's what we're going to call it. But he said he wanted radical worship. We do this all the time anyhow, but he said he wants radical worship. So if you're wondering why we do it's because we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And flesh has no place in it. And we just let God just be glorified in everything. All right, so you was learning what it was. You know, another thing too, guys, you have to learn that it's dark, but it's going to get darker. We're going to go through a lot of persecution. And so the reason why God has been, he's been having us party now for over a year, hasn't he? And, you know, we used to have the balloons and everything, but I said, God can have the balloons. He said, no, you can't have the balloons this time. So, you know, we have to do it. And everybody said, where's the balloons? I said, God said, no balloons. So if we do it what the Father says, you know, then everything works out fine. But the reason why God's having us sing like this and worship like this is because we have to get the joy of the Lord down inside of us. We have to, if you really listen to the words that you're singing, it's all about where you're at and who you are. You're going to have to know who you are and where you're at whenever this great thing comes upon the earth, when Satan really does his thing. And if you don't get that joy now, and if you don't know who you are now, you're not going to make it when it finally hits. So, guys, I just want to really encourage you, even at home, I really want you to radically sing and dance before the Lord. I want you to get your inner man strengthened. And I just want you to be so full of joy that no matter what the enemy brings your way, he can never stop you. You have to be unstoppable in this end time dispensation that we're in. And if you're called to work for the Father, then you're going to have to be strong. You're going to have to be unstoppable. If not, God can't use you. Now, you know, the Word of God says many are called, but few are chosen. So some of you might be on your training ground right now. You might be going through testing after testing just to see, are you really going to fulfill the destiny that God has placed before you? Are you really going to stay strong no matter what comes your way? This is what we're going through, saints. And I know the body of Christ has been going through a great testing here. God's testing us. How strong are you really? I keep telling you, search your inner self. How strong are you really? Is your faith in God just on the surface, or does it come from the very depths of your heart? You know, it has to be from the depth of your heart, or it's not going to work. It can't be head knowledge. It can't be, you know, I don't believe in hype. I don't like that. I've seen too much of that before I had a church. I don't like hype, and I won't ever hype anybody up. Either it's God or it's not God. You know, and if you're walking in the Spirit, you know what is Spirit and what is not Spirit. And each one of you have to know what is Spirit. What is God and what is not God. Because Spirit is calling unto Spirit this morning. Well, every day, Spirit is calling unto Spirit. God wants you to allow him to go so deep inside of you that whatever's in you that is impure, he can pull to the surface. Even during the praise and worship, you know, we've seen many manifestations of the spirits coming out of people. They didn't know they were in there, but God brought his anointing and God drew that stuff out. Why? Because he wants you perfectly clean inside out. He doesn't, you know, wouldn't it be awful if you was in the middle of a warfare with the enemy and all of a sudden the enemy that's inside of you popped up. And you're standing there with egg on your face. So let God clean you up. Let him take everything out of you that is not of him. He wants you to be pure and holy from inside out. Just not your lips, not your head, but inside out. This is for somebody in here this morning. So really grasp hold of what God is saying to you. He wants you pure and holy inside out. And religion has no place in this. God said religion has to go along the wayside, and it's spirit calling unto spirit. Any false doctrine, any doctrine that you've been indoctrinated with, forget about it. Get in the Word of God for yourself. Learn what God's saying for yourself, not what somebody's taught you, not what man has taught you, but what the whole, everything I know the Holy Spirit has taught me. God wouldn't let me go away to Bible school. He said, my Holy Spirit, I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. So everything I know and everything I do is led by the Holy Spirit. And each one of you need to be in the same way. You need to be led by the Spirit. Well, you know, my father said, or my mother said, it doesn't much matter what your father or mother said. What has God said? What has God said? And you should be in such a place that I don't care what you're doing, where you're at, all of a sudden God just starts speaking to you. You know, you just hear him. He's just telling you. He's just revealing secrets to you. And if you're not in that place, you have to get to that place. Because when everything comes down the road, you're not going to be able to call on a prophet. You know, you're going to have to hear the voice of God for yourself. When I was coming here yesterday, God was telling me all kinds of things. And then I got phone calls, and everything was confirmed what God was telling me. And, you know, and I wasn't praying. I was just coming down here, keeping quiet, just sitting before the Lord. And he just starts revealing things to me. This is what he wants to do to you. He doesn't want you to walk around here with an airhead. He wants you to walk around here with the anointing of God, and he can speak to you at any given second. We're supposed to be instant, in season and out of season, according to the Word of God. So that means that he can speak to you. If you're walking down the street, he could say to you, John, I want you to cross the street. There's a car sitting there. There's a man sitting in there. I want you to go over there to that man because I want to give him a word through you. And then you should be so full of Spirit, you'll go over there and do what God's told you to do. Are you listening here? Just don't be content and just coming into the house of God and sitting in a chair and having somebody preach to you. Please don't be content in that. You need to be coming into the house of God, yes, learning about God, but then whenever you go through those doors, you are now the disciple, you are now the vessel that God wants to use, and he's going to place people in your path, and he's going to use your voice to speak to them. Be that kind of a disciple for the Lord. Just, I don't know about you, but I don't like dead religion. I like religion that's full of fire. I like religion, no, I don't like religion. I like the glory of God. Sorry, I don't like the glory. I like the glory of God. I just want to be where God can use me at any given second. And, you know, sometimes you say, God, I'm just too tired. He doesn't care. You said, here I am, Lord, use me. And he says, I'll strengthen you. Get up and do what I'm telling you to do. I was up to 3 o'clock this morning studying. I said, God, I'm so tired. I kept going like this. And he says, you keep right on. Just keep right on. I'll strengthen you. And he's, you know, he will strengthen you. He will give you the stamina that you need to do the works that he wants calling you forth to do. I know the doctors say, what, you need 8 or 10 hours sleep a night? Well, Jesus says, no, you don't. You know, Jesus said, I'll give you rest and I'll give you sleep. Amen. Who are we following? Are we following man's voice or are we following God's voice? If you look around, you can tell who comes here all the time. Because they become radical for God. All right, you guys that were in the world, we were all in the world at one time, weren't we? You know how radical you was for the devil. How you acted just like a total fool. But then we come into the house of God and we get pious. We have to be quiet and we don't want to, you know, do anything that would upset God. What upsets God is you sitting there being quiet. He wants you to laugh. He wants you to sing. He wants you to dance. He wants you to rejoice. Now, are you ready to be all that God's called you forth to be? Are you really ready to be the vessel of honor that God can work through? You know, I didn't get this old, did not learn something in life. And what I've learned in life is that God wants you. He told me one time when he first called me, when I was first born again, he called me as a young child. But when I was born again in 77, he said, daughter, he said, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want 100% of you. Now, each one of you in here tonight, this morning, if you're saying you want to follow God, then he wants 100% of you. You can't hold anything back for yourself. When you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you died. Came born again in Christ. And now it's He that lives within you. Some of you, you know, God's saying you're just like, you're all zapped out. You have no joy. You have no purpose. But He's here to give you purpose and He's here to give you joy. It's up to you whether or not you receive it. Amen. Well, that all came from God. I wasn't planning to say none of that. Some of you in there, yeah, she said, I didn't think so. Some of you in here needed to hear that this morning. You need to hear that you need to become radical. You need to become totally, completely radical for God, holding nothing back. No holds barred. None. None. Absolutely none. And when you do, God will come in like a flood. He'll flood your soul. He'll use you for His glory in His kingdom. Right now, God's looking for people who will say yes, Lord, and mean yes, Lord. He's looking for people who will say yes and then do the things that God's asking them to do. You know what? Many people have said yes, Lord, but then they say, don't use me now, too hard. You know, just use me just a little bit. But God's looking for people when they say yes, Lord, you mean it from the very depth of your heart. When I became born again, some of you are new here, so I'll tell this. When I became born again, you know, I said, here I am, Lord, send me. When I read that in the Word, you know, I got all excited, you know, and here I am, Lord, send me. And then before that, you know, I really didn't have no problems in life. Always went to church, but never born again. I was never radical. I went there and sat very quietly and was a very good little girl, all right? But then once I became born again, you know, then you become a threat to the devil. And all hell broke loose in my life after I became born again. I said, God, what is this? Now, you need to hear this. He said, I heard you when you said, here I am, Lord, use me. He said, this comes along with the territory. And what he was telling me was, the minute you say, here I am, Lord, use me, the devil comes after you. And he's going to fight you tooth and nail. He's not going to give you any rest because he's trying to get you back out of the will of the Father. It's up to you. Who wins this fight? You and God or the devil? Because when the devil wins, you don't win. You really don't. But when God wins, you win too. Because when the devil wins, he's got you right where he wants you. And you don't have any peace, any joy, and you don't have any future. Amen. Now, we were radical for God, right? Singing and dancing. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to sing Worshippers. Now, see, God needs you radical, but He also needs you to be a worshiper. Now, and when we play this song, I want you to really listen to the words. And then I want you to make a decision whether you're going to be one of God's worshipers or not. All right? Go ahead. Play that song. Play it so we can hear it.
Worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking for those who will come with a pure heart. He's seeking for those who will come and gladly take heart. He's looking for those unashamed to fall down on their face. He's looking for those who will bow down and ask for mercy and grace. Are you one? One of the worshipers. The Father is seeking for those who will cry loud and
and spell. He's looking for those who gladly give everything they've got. He's looking for those who will diligently hearken to his word. He's looking for those that will hear and repeat what they've heard. Are you one? Tell me, are you one of the worshipers? I want to know, are you one? Are you
above every other name, the name that demons tremble at the sound of that name, the name of the one that we love and the name of the one that we adore. We lift your name high in this place tonight, and we glorify.
Are you a worshiper? Are you truly all that that song says? See, it's commitment time with God. We can no longer just come in the house of God just half-heartedly. We have to come into the house of God totally and completely committed to Him. He's not going to accept anything less. You know, God is full of grace, and we know that. But you just can't continually sin and think God is going to say it's okay, because He isn't. We have to get out of our sin nature. We have to commit ourselves totally and completely to God, surrender everything to Him, and become the man or woman of God that God wants you to be. If we're supposed to be just like Jesus, then why do we go around doing the things that we do? Church, we've got to get it together. We have to be holy. We have to be pure. We have to quit deceiving ourselves into thinking, well, I can sin today and tomorrow and ask repentance. That doesn't work. God said there's no gray area. It's either black or it's white. We have to commit ourselves from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. And God is really calling some of you this morning in here to quit playing games and really commit yourself. Really commit yourself to the Father. You need to ask yourself right now, if I were to die and sitting in this seat right now, where would I go? Would I go to heaven or would I go to hell? If you have any sin whatsoever in your life, you're not going to heaven. If your mind's racing with bad thoughts, you're not going to go to heaven. We have to be pure. I'm hearing God saying simple and holy. We have to be like little children, just trust God with all of our hearts. All of our hearts. He's either God or he isn't. But he is God. He's all sovereign. And he loves each one of us. And he only wants the best for each one of us. You know in your heart whether or not God's calling you. You know the nudging of the Spirit. You might say, no, I don't, but yeah, you do. You really do know the nudging of the Spirit. You might be ignoring it, might try and be pushing it away because you don't want to hear it, but God is calling you. God's left the church. He's going out into the highways and the byways, and he's compelling the sinners to come into the house of God. But he's going to clean the sinners up. He's not going to use them being a sinner. Don't be one of those that's going to be left along the wayside. Don't be one of those that if you stand before God, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I do not know you. I don't care how many times you prophesy. I don't care how many times you lay hands on people and they get healed. That doesn't matter to God. If you're a sinner, then that does, you know, that's not going to get you into heaven. God is saying he's very serious in what he's saying to you this morning. Some of you in here, you have a deep calling upon your life, but you're not taking your walk with God serious enough. You're still dabbling around, and God wants you to quit dabbling. He wants you to commit yourself finally commit yourself totally and completely. And quit doing this dumb stuff of saying, is this you? Really, you God? Yes, it's God. The devil wouldn't do that. You know? The devil wouldn't ask you to do something good. Come on. If there's anything that upsets God anymore, and believe me, I know, is for you to say, is this really you, God? That upsets him very much. He calls that doubt and unbelief. If you say, God, are you really calling me? Did you really ask me to do that? That's doubt and unbelief. You don't serve a God who plays games with you. He's very serious about his kingdom. And when he asks you to do something, he doesn't want you to say, is this really you, God? Make the moon turn blue if it's you. You know, signs and wonders are not for the church. They're for the world. And if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're not of the world. And you don't need a sign and a wonder. You just need to say, yes, Lord. Here am I. Might not like it, but I'll do it. There's many things God's going to ask you to do that you're not going to like. But you do it anyhow. As I said last night, Jesus didn't want to go to the cross. I can guarantee you that. Read the word. If he did, why did he sweat great drops of blood and cry out to God, God, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. But then he says, well, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And I'm going to guarantee you this right now, that in your walk with God, there's going to be many times you're going to say, God, please don't make me do this. But then your bottom line is, because you love the Lord with all your heart, you'll say, all right, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And then you'll go ahead and do what God's calling you forth to do. And God understands that. He didn't make you a robot. He gave you feelings. And he understands that you don't understand what he's asking you to do. He understands it because you can't see it, you can't quite believe it. He understands all that. But he still expects you to just go ahead and to obey. To obey and just go ahead in faith. He told us a couple years ago, start working on your faith, because you're going to need faith like never before. And he told me personally, daughter, from this day forward, you're going to walk by faith. It's going to be total faith. See, and I was used to walking with a father who spoke to me all the time. You know, and I always knew what was going on, always, always, always. And then from that point on, he didn't speak to me as often. Didn't mean he didn't love me as much. Because he said from this point on, he said, it's a faith walk. So when I knew he's asked me to do something, I just went ahead and did it. He didn't give me all the details. I just went and did it. So maybe some of you are at that juncture in your walk with God right now. You're not quite understanding what God's calling you forth to do. Just go ahead and do it. He will unravel the puzzle for you as you go along. He really will. He won't let you sit in the dark. Well, I've got to tell this about myself too. Then after a fashion, God started speaking to me all the time again. You know, and he started telling me all the details again. But see, before he did that, I had to walk in a season of just nothing but total faith. Just, I know you're there. I know I heard you ask me to do this, and I'm just going to do it because you said to do it. And if God asks you to do something, saints, he's going to give you every detail. He's going to tell you exactly how it's going to work out. Exactly. I've been crying out for a couple of years, God, let me hold another meeting, camp meeting or something. And then just out of the blue, we was having a meeting, and he said, all right, you can have it and have a meeting now. And then he told me the net title of it. He told me exactly how to do it. And each day he tells me exactly this. You know, I call the people, we're going to do this, this, and this, because this is what God tells me to do. And see, this is what God wants to do with you in your walk with him. He wants to every day tell you what to do. He wants to tell you how to do it, where to go. Now, are you really ready for that kind of a walk? Are you really ready to lay your life at the cross? Every day you get out of bed, say, Father God, I'm yours. You lead, guide, and direct my footsteps. And then no matter where he leads your footsteps to, you're going to go. You know, God's even going to tell you when you're going to be in trouble. He will. He'll tell you when you're going to be in trouble. And then he'll tell you how it's going to turn out. So why not serve a God like that? The devil gives you a whole lot of false hope. Gives you false something. I don't know what it is, because I don't work for the devil. But he gives you false something or other. And then he lies to you and tells you it's going to turn out one way. And it turns out totally the opposite. Isn't that the truth? For all you who have been delivered and walked with the devil at one time. Isn't that what he did to you? Then you say, wow, how could I have been such a big fool to fall for that lie? I know when I was first born again, I went to a prayer meeting and, you know, and I wasn't used to hearing God's voice, but I heard a voice say to me, that man sitting over there in the corner, I want you to go over there to him and tell him that Satan paints pretty pictures, but he never lets you see what's behind the picture. So I went and told the man that, and he just wept uncontrollably, and I thought, what have I just done? Because he knew what God was telling him, but I didn't. And this is just how God started my ministry, just doing things like that. But from the time I was born again, the miracles always happened, so I'm a blessed child of God because I got radically saved when I was really young. And see, what you need to do is get radically saved. When I got saved, I cried for 3 days and three nights. When I got saved, I was at the altar of the church and I was crying so desperately and just boo-hooing my head off. And the pastor finally said, would you please just go home? I need to go home and get my lunch. He didn't know what to do with me, but I was radically saved. And I wasn't seeking salvation. I didn't know about salvation. I just went to church. And I was sitting in my seat, and all of a sudden, I just automatically got up. I didn't automatically get up, did it? The angels picked me up, took me to the altar, and I just started crying. And God's kept me all my life. I think I was about 14 or 15 then. So God can keep you. Why do you think God can't keep you? Now, you know, when I started a church, I had a very good job making a lot of money. And God, after I was preaching for a season, God said, why don't you quit your job? And I wasn't making a check here anyhow, you know, still not. And I said, God, are you sure? Say, questioning God. He said, I told you to quit your job. It took me 6 months to do that. But I finally did. But what God told me, he said, daughter, if you'll quit your job and work for me full time, I'll write your paycheck and it'll be more than the world would ever write for you. Well, guess what happened? I quit my job. They didn't want me to, but I did. I lost that paycheck, and I still haven't gotten a paycheck from God. And that's been 30 years. But I know God is able, and I know it's going to happen. So now, instead of me having a checkbook that I don't balance, I don't even have a checkbook. But, you know, that's God. If that's what he desires for me, that's what he desires for me. I know he's been keeping me. I don't lack for nothing. But see, we have to be obedient to what God is calling us to do. Are you willing to do that? But see, you have to make sure it's God's voice you're hearing. Now, don't say God told me and it's just you wanting to do something. You have to make sure that you're hearing God's voice totally, completely, or it's not going to work. I know why I'm not getting a paycheck, because I listen to man and not to God. And the anointing was stolen. And I know why I'm having a problem. But I also know that God is taking care of me. And I know he's going to come through and do exactly what he said. But some of you in here this morning, you're really at a crossroads. You're trying to make a decision in your life. It's very imperative that you make the right decision. So God said he just wants you, as you're sitting in your seat, just think, what do I really want to do? Do I really want to give up this life of mediocrity, or do I want to sell totally and completely out to God and get radical for him? God doesn't promise you anything great and wonderful. He does promise you that you'll suffer. He does promise you that. He doesn't promise you that your family's going to turn into the most wonderful people in the world overnight. He doesn't promise you that. He just says, take up your cross and follow me. So I really do have a sermon all together, and it's called Finish the Works That Jesus Did. But God's doing a different thing here this morning. And some of you, he's telling me that he's renewing your faith right now. That your faith has grown a little weak, and just by him talking to you through me, it's renewing your faith. It's making you think a little differently. Because I don't know about you, but when I first got born again, nobody ever told me that Jesus, I could speak to my Father. Nobody ever told me that there were signs, wonders, and miracles that could happen. But then that's my fault. I should have been reading my word, right? Nobody ever told me anything. And even when God was using me with the miracles that he used me for, when I talked to a pastor, they would tell me to sit down and shut up. Why'd they do that? Because they weren't doing it. It wasn't happening through them, so they were jealous and they didn't want to tell me what was going on. I'm not like that. I'll tell you what's going on and I'll use you. Because that's my job. That's your job. When you become a disciple, then you make other disciples. You just don't make airheads that sit in front of a seat and then you count their heads and get money for them. You're supposed to become a disciple of the Most High God. Some of you, God's telling me that some of you are going to have to find a newfound reverence for the Father. You don't reverence him enough. You take him totally and completely for granted. And he wants you to quit doing that. Do you think you can do that this morning? Do you think you can really quit taking God for granted? I have a holy fear of God, and I really don't take him for granted. I really don't. Because I know that at any given second, he could lift his hand of mercy from me and let the Satan have his way with me. I know that. He told me one time when I was walking back, you know, they have this saying going out, once saved, always saved, and that's not the truth. You have to work out your salvation daily. And I was walking through here ministering to people, and God said to me quietly, he said, daughter, be careful lest when you minister to others, you yourself is going to lose your salvation. And he told Paul talks about that. So that got my attention really quick. I was so concerned about ministering to other people, I wasn't paying attention to what was going on in my own life. So maybe some of you are in that crossroad. You've been ministering to other people, trying to get your family saved, trying to get the loved ones around you saved, and you've just sort of let your salvation go along the wayside. I'm not saying you're in sin, but you haven't spent time before the Father. You haven't gotten in your Word. Well, your job is only to tell them about Jesus Christ. Period. Their job is to seek Jesus Christ. Once you've told them about the Father, their blood is off of your hands. Then it's up to them what they do with that. So please don't feel guilty and condemned, because I'm a pastor and I have my family are on drugs. How do you think I feel about that? They were saved, they backslid. I still come in, I still preach the Word of God because that's my job. And God, people, other pastors have condemned me, and God said, I didn't call your family, I called you. Always remember that. He didn't call your family, he called you. You're not responsible how your family turns out. My brother said to me, I can't believe your kids turned out bad because you've always lived a godly life. Well, you know, you can't live their life for them. You can't. You just have to live the life before them. And now either they receive Jesus or they don't. Now, my children are backslid. My one daughter isn't. She stands up and sings. But the rest of them are backslid. But God told me they're all going to come back into the house of God. See, they're watching me persevere year after year after year. Hardship after hardship after hardship. And they've even told me, why do you do this? I do it because I love my Father. It's plain and simple. I don't do it for any other purpose. I love God. I just love His presence. And Satan has nothing whatsoever to offer me. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I've seen what Satan does to people. We have seen what Satan has done to people that's come in here, and we've done deliverance on them, and we've watched them grow like little babies, you know, from coming in bound and then getting set free and then rejoicing in the Lord, then start bringing other people into the house of God, and God makes them ministers of the gospel, and they go forth and they preach the gospel to them. See, we watch the babies grow. Isn't that exciting? Wouldn't you rather see that than watch a bunch of heathen people just act out? See, you know, when you're working for God, it's, you know, you get rewarded just by watching a soul be saved. You know, God said, this is the day and this is the hour that He's calling a lot of you in here to serve Him totally and completely, 100%. He doesn't care how old or how young. He's calling this morning. Because I'm hearing Him say He's setting up His kingdom warriors right now to fight this fight that's coming our way. Now, do you want to be a kingdom warrior, or do you want to go out there and just play in the water with the devil? It's totally up to you what you do with your life. I can't force you to do anything. I don't want to. Because when you force somebody to do something, it's not lasting. It doesn't last. But when it comes from the heart, you can't take it away. A lot of people serve God for show. And you can tell. You watch a person, you can tell what they're doing. So let's not serve God for show. I am who I am. I'm this way at home too. You know, if I'm angry, I'm angry. If I'm happy, I'm happy. You know, and you know, I don't like who I am right now. I'm going to be honest, because I used to be very quiet and very mild, soft-spoken. But God has given me a forehead of flint and a backbone of steel. You know why? Because it's repentance time. God said this is His last thrust to get the people into the kingdom before everything comes down the road. And if you're going to be passive, you know, and not be able to speak forth, you're not going to get anybody saved. You're not. You know, I said my children are on drugs, and my grandchildren are on drugs, and they've been bringing their drug friends home, and because they're all sleeping on the streets in Wilmington. And I tell the kids, I sit and talk to them, and I said, you know, if you would die right now, you'd go straight to hell. I would not. Yeah, you would. And, you know, now they're starting to think differently. They're starting to sing the songs that Sister Teresa plays in her car when she travels them back and forth. And you can see their minds are thinking differently. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, you're bringing more drug people into my home. Whose house is it? It's God's house, isn't it? And he'll bring into your home whoever he wants, right? For all I know, I could be entertaining angels unawares. One of those people that he brings home that's on drugs could be an angel. Isn't that what the Word of God tells us? Come on. Well, they're getting my house dirty. Well, they're eating all my food. And they do eat a lot. They're eating all my food. They're making extra work for me. Are you a servant of the Most High God or are you not? Are you ready to be a servant for God, is what I'm saying. Are you ready to do whatever God's asking you to do? I'm raising 3 grandkids again. I said, come on, God. But, you know, God is God. Is he not? Is he not? So, in other words, then we need to quit complaining. We just need to quit complaining. And we just need to do what the job that God has given us to do. Here I am, Lord, just keep blessing, just keep blessing. But don't ask me to do anything for you. That's how the body of Christ thinks. Well, I'm sorry it doesn't work that way. No, I'm not sorry. It just doesn't work that way. God is really trying to, if you all know me, about 90% of what I say is God. The 10% that isn't God, you'll know it's not God because I'm like Moses. I stutter. I don't stutter, but I fumble around. So this is God, and he's really calling you this morning. Are you listening? Are you really listening? Are you heeding his voice? Is your heart saying, you know, God, I just haven't been where I should be, and I want to be 100% for you? If that's you, I'd like for you to come up to the altar. While you're coming up here, while we was singing that worshiper song, I said, God, you said this is going to be a miracle service. He said, yeah, I did. And so if there's anybody who has an infirmity in your body, if you come up, God said he's going to heal you. Now, so what I have up here is a mixture. I have some that need a healing. And I have some that's saying, God, I want to sell out to you 100%. Marsh Grace, she's going, I want to sell out to you 100%. Now, it doesn't matter whether you need the healing or if you want to sell out. God's going to do it all. I really don't need to know what you're going to do. And it's God. It's not me. So go ahead and let you girls, you have to walk right up here, right up here close. Throw your hands up in the air. Walk closer. That's it. Now throw your hands up in here and close your eyes. And just now receive whatever it is God has for you. Just receive it. Come on, just receive it.